bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
We all know that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, and I have to say most of the times I just have a protein shake, which actually works for me, but once in a while I actually want to eat some food. I want to like dig my fork into something delicious, so I am thrilled to have Dina Chaney on the show. She is the author of The New Milks, and I love talking to Dina because I learn all about how to make coconut milk and soy milk and all different types of nut milks, and some of those nut milks will be in these wonderful five simple healthy breakfast recipes we're going to tackle. So Dina, come on in. Let's talk breakfast.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I'm glad to be here. Should we just dive right into it or?
Yeah, well, first, actually, before we dive into breakfast, let's talk a little bit about you. When did you first get turned on, if that's the right word, by the new milks and using alternative to dairy?
Yeah, I mean, I would say around 4 years ago, I realized I was probably lactose intolerant. I just didn't feel good when I had, you know, dairy products. I was bloated. My stomach would hurt. And I would notice whenever I would cut the consumption of dairy, I would lose weight. And I was at the doctor, and my doctor said, you know, your body mass index went up. Why don't you try cutting out cheese? And I was like, I can't. I'm a food writer. I can't cut cheese. And she said, try it. And I did, and my weight went down. And so there's that. And then I, of course, started, I remember, like, you know, a few years ago, I looked on the blogosphere, and there were so many recipes and for different, you know, plant-based milks. And I started trying them out myself, making them at home, and they were so delicious and so varied and so healthful and exciting. It felt like the new frontier. You know, why just limit yourself to cow's milk when you can make, you know, milk in quotes, you know, from so many different wonderful natural ingredients? So I'm just a huge convert, and I not only make my own plant-based milks and buy them as well, but, you know, I buy the yogurts and, you know, the cheeses, and I'm just very excited about all the dairy-free products out there.
Oh, me too. And we're going to have another show. So Dina will definitely be back. We're going to get into the nitty gritty of making these plant-based milks. But today we're going to start with breakfast. Now, the first recipe is a roasted pear almond milk yogurt parfait. Wow, that sounds exciting. Yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, it's incredible. And you know, lately I don't like to add sweetener to anything. So I've stopped doing that lately. And this is the most delicious thing in the world. And two of the recipes I want to talk about today feature Comice pears. So it's C-O-M-I-C-E. They're kind of ugly, but they are amazing. They're juicy and sweeter, this incredibly sweet, complex, and aromatic. So what I do is I will preheat my oven to 400 degrees Fahrenheit, and then I will take some Comice pears, and I leave the skin on. So you get extra fiber, and it's faster. And I'll just quickly cut them in chunks and then throw them on a greased baking sheet, and I'll spray them with cooking spray, which I've been using, but you can also use, you know, if you want to melt coconut oil or just a little olive oil. And then I will add some ground cardamom, one of my favorite spices from Middle Eastern cuisine, a little bit of ground cinnamon, a pinch of salt, toss it together, throw it in the oven, roast it for about 25 minutes. And like I said, the pear is so incredibly naturally sweet that, I mean, you take it out of the oven, your whole house smells like pear pie. It smells like, you know, it smells like Thanksgiving or something. It's incredible. And it's so sweet. You could eat it as is, or you put the pear and the juices into a bowl and top it with some yogurt. I love this brand Kite Hill. I buy the plain kind because it's got 5 grams of sugar, which is pretty low. So many yogurts have, you know, are loaded with sugar. And then I'll usually then garnish with some toasted nuts. So maybe pecans, walnuts, you know, whatever, pistachio nuts. You could even put some pomegranate arils or pomegranate seeds on top. So it's like a parfait, but you know, granola often has a lot of added sugar, so I generally, you know, shy away from granola. It's a way to have a parfait that's extremely healthy, and it's delicious. You can have it for breakfast, or you can have it for a snack or for dessert, and my kids eat it as well. So that's one of my new favorites
for breakfast. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned the brand because, you know, I've been seeing that Kite. What is it called, Kite?
Yeah, I know.
Like
it's kind of weird. Kite, like fly a kite. Kite Hill.
Yes.
Kite Hill,
because I've seen it at Whole Foods, and I was wondering if I should get it for my daughter, because she is a dairy fanatic, and I'm always trying to get her to cut back, or if I do get dairy for her, I'll make sure to get grass-fed or organic grass-fed when I can, and I thought, well, I should try that, because I'm a big fan of the So Delicious coconut milk beverage products. They have a yogurt that also is low in sugar, and I'm addicted to their So Delicious unsweetened vanilla beverage, but that's why why we got to have you back, because I need to learn how to make my own coconut milk beverage.
Maybe sometime we'll talk about, we'll have like a dairy-free yogurt tasting or talk about that.
Ooh, something nice. Like that. Okay, that sounds super fun.
Yeah.
Now, what was the oven? What did you put the oven to? 450 for the, or is that too high?
I usually do 400. It takes about, 25 minutes. Your house, but it's amazing. Like, your house will smell incredibly divine. I've been doing this for the last, these are literally the things I've been doing lately, and I'm very excited about. And for the first time today, my children tried the parfaits, and they were like, mmm! And they just loved it. So anyway, just try it. And you guys won't believe that it doesn't have any added sweetener. It's just incredibly divine.
Oh, I love that. And tell us the name of the pears one more time and spell it for us.
Yeah, they're called Comice. So it's C-O-M-I-C-E. And by the way, around me, they're usually around a dollar more per pound than the other pear varieties. They're also a little bit ugly, to be honest. Like, they get bruised easily. And so, they'll often have like brown spots, and they're kind of fat and lumpy and misshapen. So I never used to buy the Comice pears because I was like, why would I spend more money on uglier fruits? But actually, they the juices and the flavor are so complex. So I say it's worth the extra money.
It's so funny because whenever I think, this is so random, but whenever that's my brain, whenever I think about bruising and fruit, when I was a kid, I was over at my friend's house. Now, she had five brothers and sisters. So when her mother made somebody eat or gave you something, you just ate it. Yeah. And where I was very picky. And I remember she gave me a banana and I opened it and had a huge bruise. And I was like, I can't eat this. And she's like, what is wrong with you? Just eat it. And I remember just being so put off by any bruising. So I will try to look past it.
Try to look past the pears. Lisa, I was the same as a kid, like, to this day. And my kids won't eat bananas either with the brown spots, although we both know they taste amazing. Actually, can I just give a quick tip? Is whenever that happens to whenever that happens to my bananas, I always buy them green, actually. But whenever they turn brown, I cut them in pieces and I put them in freezer bags, and then I just add them to smoothies.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Oh, that is a thing to do.
My kids won't touch them when they have brown. Okay, anyway, so that's that for that.
No, well, it's funny because I don't even like bananas, but that's a whole other story. But, and another thing, now I'm going to sound like a big pain in the rump. Another thing I'm not a fan of are chia seeds because I don't really like the texture, but I haven't tried the chia seed pudding. And I think I should, because then it's different. But when you put it in water, they say one of my friends is like, it's so good for you. Just put the seeds in water and just pound it down before it gets that kind of thickness to it.
Yes,
but it sounds like for the pudding, you want the thickness. So talk to us about your chia seed pudding.
Well, I love the way you just said that. And actually, it's interesting because I've never just pounded them down with water, and I think I wouldn't like that. But yeah, when you make a pudding out of them, like you just said, Lisa, you want the thickness. It's an asset. So basically, I'm very, very excited about the chia seed pudding. So excited that I've been making it at least once a day. Often my son will have it for breakfast. And by the way, I will have it for breakfast often, and sometimes I'll have it for snack or dessert. This, just like the last recipe we discussed, has no added sweetener. Totally clean, totally good for you. So, and it's very easy. It takes less than 10 minutes. So I should point out, many of your listeners probably know, but chia seeds have a ton of fiber. So they have a lot of nutrients and a lot of fiber, and they tend to make you feel full. So a lot of people say they're good for weight loss and just weight management. But basically what you do is you take the chia seeds and pour them into a small bowl. And sometimes I'll make several servings at once. It depends on what you want to do, because you could keep this in the fridge for like 4 days if you want. But anyway, put some chia seeds in a bowl, and then put roughly double the amount of milk as you would use chia seeds. So it's like a 2-to-1 ratio. And I personally don't use cow's milk. I always use plant-based milk. But it depends on what I have in the fridge. Like today I made chia pudding for breakfast, and I used unsweetened coconut milk. Sometimes I'll use unsweetened, vanilla almond milk or whatever, any kind of plant-based milk you want. Or if you do dairy, you could use cow's milk. And then so you stir that together with a pinch of salt, vanilla extract, and sometimes, I add spices, like ground cinnamon is nice. So you could play around with that too. So just stir it together in a little bowl, and you want to let it sit for a few minutes. So like you mentioned before, here you want the thickness. Here you want it to turn into a pudding. And just like with flax seeds, and I don't know the mechanism for it, but the chia seeds will gel gel the milk. So it just, as it sits around, it just thickens into a pudding. It takes about 10 minutes, and the longer it sits, generally the thicker it gets. If you want the texture even creamier, you can also stir in some yogurt perhaps some Kite Hill almond milk yogurt or the so delicious coconut milk yogurt. So if you want to get even more of a creamy, rich consistency, you could stir in some of the yogurt. But I generally don't even do that. So once the mixture gelatinizes, is that a verb? Anyway, once it turns into a pudding, which is about 10 minutes, then what I'll tend to do is top it with fruit. My favorites are berries, so pomegranate seeds or fresh raspberries or fresh blueberries, cut up strawberries, and then, like I said, I tend to top so many things with nuts, but then I'll usually put nuts in. Another nice addition is fresh mint leaves. So like today when I made it, I used raspberries, pecans, and fresh mint leaves. And one final tip about this particular technique or recipe, it's so easy, you don't even need a recipe, is that if you top your chia seed pudding, let's say you just do a pinch of salt, vanilla extract, let's say unsweetened almond milk, chia seeds, you stir it. If you top it with diced, super ripe, fresh pineapple, and you close your eyes, you'll swear you're eating vanilla ice cream. It's crazy.
Wow.
Just try this. Yeah,
that is
try
crazy.
It. It's so good. Anyway,
now,
I
was just curious because what I find difficult is that gelatinous texture. So if I added some of the, because I like so delicious coconut milk yogurt, that would make it less gelatinous and more creamy, sounds like.
Yeah, I think in your case, maybe you'd want to do that. And you want to make sure you add enough liquid. And because it also looks prettier because, they are black, so the chia seed, you have to get past the fact that it's a grayish color. Like, it's like you're trained not to eat gray food, so you have to get past that. But also, if you stir in more of the white yogurt, it will help the color as well. So, yeah, I mean, but if you don't have yogurt or you're in a rush or you're even on a budget, it's super cheap and, it's economical, too, if you leave the yogurt out. So, yeah, whatever works for you. And I tend to use... I tend to start with less liquid, and if later on I think it needs more, you can just stir it in. I mean, it's so you can't mess it up. It's very easy to, it's very easy. And if it's too thin, just add more chia seeds. So it's sort of, you can't get it wrong,
All right, I'm going to try this. The next one I want to try too, spiced oatmeal with pears, back to pears, which are delicious, or other fruit. So let's talk about this.
Okay, so so many of us love oatmeal for breakfast, and oatmeal is the best. And actually, one thing I want to say is I feel like there's so much pressure in food media, and people feel like they have to buy the expensive steel-cut oats. But I want to tell everyone that there's, really no pressure. You really don't have to do that. And even if the steel-cut oats have slightly more fiber than the other oats, they're all whole grains. They're all really good for you. So I generally will just buy that giant canister of the Quaker, old-fashioned oats. If I only have the instant oats, sometimes I'll use those. It doesn't, you don't want any sweetener in it, but... Anyway, what I'll do is I'll take a heavy, small sauce pot and I'll add a little bit of water. And you can also use plant milk, or you could use cow's milk if you do cow's milk. But I generally will use water. I'll add a little bit of water to a small pot with a pinch of salt. I add a salt to everything. Pinch of salt. And generally,
too.
You can. I love cinnamon and cardamom, so because this recipe is pears. And I'll put a little bit of ground cinnamon, a little bit of ground cardamom, and I'll bring it to a boil over high heat. So, I'm trying to give quantities. I would say for two people, I'll usually add something like a cup of water. It's not that much water. So it comes to boil quickly. So this whole recipe you can do in about 15 minutes if you're busy in the morning. So anyway, once the water comes to a boil, I will add, again, I like to use the Comey's pears. This is like the ode to Comey's pears. But you leave the skins on for fiber and efficiency. And just dice the Comey's pears and throw them in the boiling water. And at the same time, you'll add the raw oats and just give it a stir and let it boil. And it takes about 5 minutes. You'll see the oats get really creamy and thicken. What happens is, it's like alchemy because the pears are really soft, the Comey's pears, and they break down into the boiling water and the oats. And so it's almost like adding a syrup to oats. Like when you cook the pears with the oats, they literally break down and infuse into the oats. So they become naturally sweet. So anyway, once that mixture is done, like I said, it's about 5 minutes, I'll ladle into bowls and top it with, nuts or seeds. And that's my favorite to do. But, generally, but of course you could use any fruit with this. I just love what the pears do. You also could do apples. And if I were going to do apples, I would probably grate the apples because they're a little harder than pears. They take more time to cook. and then they'll break down into the oats. But it's a really delicious breakfast.
It sounds really, really good.
Yeah.
You know, I love eggs, and it's so nice to have different ways to do them, right? I mean,
absolutely.
I'll usually just saute them in some avocado oil and maybe throw in some spinach or something. So what is Eggs in Paradise?
Okay, so Eggs in Paradise is one of my favorite dishes. It's similar to a Middle Eastern dish called shakshuka. Maybe I'll spell that, Lisa, just if people have seen this on menus, because Middle Eastern food is kind of trendy now. So Eggs in Paradise is usually considered an Italian dish, and shakshuka is very similar, but it's Middle Eastern. The latter is spelled S-H-A-K-S-H-O-U-K-A, shakshuka. So for Eggs in Paradise, it's basically eggs and tomato sauce. And what I do is, I'm going to make a confession, it's healthier to make your own tomato sauce, but because it's breakfast, I don't know about you, but you guys, I'm usually in a rush in the mornings, especially because I have to get my kids off to school. So I do often buy, I mean, I love that, you know, that, do you get that Rao's tomato sauce? Have you ever used that?
Oh my gosh, do I get that Rao's? When it's on sale, holy cow, I'll buy cases and cases. My husband's like, I can't get in the door. What is all these boxes?
You know,
it's
oh my gosh,
best.
You totally get it. It's so expensive. Like, I know, it's like, I think when it's not on sale, it's like, what is it, like $10 or $11 a jar? It's something really crazy. And sometimes you see it for
I get it for $9.99, but I've got it for $5.99, and that's when I buy a bunch of cases of it. Yeah.
I've never
seen it.
This stuff
is amazing, though.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I think the cheapest I've ever seen it for is $7. But anyway, yeah, I'm in agreement with you. It is the most delicious. You know, bottled tomato sauce out there. Anyway, so I always have like several bottles, jars in my pantry. So all you do, listen to how easy this is. You take out a skillet and you pour in, I usually make the dish for my whole family. So I'll pour in like a half jar of Rao's, maybe two thirds of a jar. And then you bring it to a boil over medium-high heat. Again, this is in a skillet, so this is not in a, you know, you want kind of a saute pan, a skillet that has relatively deep sides to it. Bring it to a boil, and then once it's boiling, then you just crack in some eggs. So I usually go with two eggs a person, crack them into tomato sauce, and then immediately you cover the saute pan with the lid, and you lower the heat to low, medium. And I always I'll set the timer. You know, set it for like 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, and then check it. Because you don't want to, you know, you want generally, I mean, I love when the whites are cooked through and the yolks are still slightly molten. But again, this could be to taste because, you know, you're basically poaching the eggs in the sauce. So check after like 2.5 minutes. You know, again, like you're looking for the opaque white whites and then still molten yolks. Of course, you want the yolks to be slightly cooked through. It takes around 2.5 minutes. It might take another 30 seconds or a minute. So keep checking. And that's pretty much it for the Eggs in Paradise. If I want to give them a Middle Eastern spin, there's, Lisa, do you know this spice mixture called za'atar? Have you ever heard of it?
I've heard of it, but I've never used it.
So it's wonderful. It's actually, I think it's from Israel originally. It's from the Middle East. I think maybe Lebanon also. It's a Middle Eastern spice mixture. I think it has wild thyme, sumac, sesame seeds, I believe. Anyway, it's delicious. And so if I want to give the dish a Middle Eastern kind of flair to it, you can sprinkle some za'atar on top of the eggs. Or if you just want to go with the Italian theme, if you have fresh parsley, you can just sprinkle some fresh parsley leaves on top. And you can either eat it, I usually will eat it alone, but of course it's delicious with toasted whole wheat pita bread or toasted naan, whole wheat naan that you dip in. So that's just a wonderful, wonderful dish. And it's great in the winter and all that vitamin C and all that yumminess from the cooked tomatoes. So it's a revelation if you've never tried it before.
No, I mean, I've got so much Rao's right now. I have got to make, I might make that for dinner. That sounds incredible.
Oh,
all right.
So good
the last
for dinner
one
too.
We're talking
yeah.
about. Yeah, right? I think it'd be great.
Poached awesome.
Eggs with hot sauce. All right. So I am a huge Melinda's hot sauce fan, by the way. Have
oh,
you ever had Melinda's?
No. Wait, but
it's
did you say
really
Melinda's
good.
Or Melinda's or Belinda's?
Melinda's. Melinda with an M. And you know what's nice about it? Is
what?
It's spicy, but it has more than just, it's not super vinegary, and they actually use carrots. I think carrots is the first or second ingredient. It's
That's
really
so cool.
good. But it's not,
I've
but it's totally smooth. It's not, you know, like choppy. Like full
no,
carrots,
no, no. That's
like
really cool.
Tell.
So Melinda's hot sauce.
Yeah. What do
okay,
you
I'm
use?
I'm going to look for this. Well, I used Cholula this morning, but I mean, I'm open to anything.
Oh,
I mean, I love
that
Tabasco
one's super
Cholula.
Popular too.
I like the green. I just like the green because I think it has tomatillo in it, which I love tomatillos.
I love tomatillos. Oh, me too. So we did a whole show on tomatillos. I just love them.
Did you really? All right. Oh, I wish I
Yeah, I really do.
They're so good.
No, no, I mean, I haven't done one. I want to.
Oh, oh no, you should, if you do one, please like tell me because I want to listen to it.
That's oh, I will. You know what's so funny, too, is I've never poached eggs before.
Can I give you a tutorial? Can we do a tutorial now? We have time, Lisa, right?
Do we have time we have about 6 minutes, so jump into the poached eggs. Let's do this.
Okay, so poached eggs, if people have never tried poached eggs, poaching is actually my favorite technique for eggs. I think it's the best way to eat eggs. So basically, for those who don't know what it is, you cook poached eggs. Their final texture is very moist and velvety. There's no crispness to them. So what you want with a poached egg, you almost think of it like an envelope, an egg envelope. You basically want the finished poached egg to have an opaque white that's soft, but you don't want it to be gummy. And then you want the yolk inside to be nice and bright yellow and slightly molten. That is sort of like the holy grail of poached eggs. It's very easy to overcook them so that the yolks solidify, which you don't want. So here's the trick. When I went to culinary school, we were taught how to poach eggs. You know, we were taught you have to do it in a sauce pot, and you've got to swirl the water with the back of a spoon, so it's like sort of a vortex. And you have to put vinegar in the water and a little salt. And then it has to be at a bare simmer because you don't want to overcook the egg. So the water has to be simmering very gently. So it was kind of intimidating, right? And then like they're like, you can only add one at a time, and it's got to be swirling. Anyway, That's like the traditional method for doing it, but it really doesn't have to be that hard. And it also takes a long time to get a whole pot of water to a boil. And you know what I mean? Who's going to do that on a weekday, busy weekday morning? So
yeah.
I figured out a faster way to do it just because out of necessity and because I love poached eggs. Here's my trick. Okay, you can use a skillet, a kind of deep skillet. So like a skillet saute pan that maybe has, I guess you want to have at least like 2-inch high sides. So, something like that, and then you fill it 2/3 full of water, and you salt the water. I usually do not use vinegar, because the vinegar does give the eggs a taste, which I don't like. So just put some salt, fill the pot, the saute pan 2/3 full of water, bring it to a boil over high heat. This is how I expedite the process. So once it's boiling, then turn your heat down. Turn it down to about medium until you see it's a light simmer. So you want to see some little bubbles, but nothing too much. Then your water is perfect. Okay, so what I will do, because I'm in a rush usually, I tend to make 6 eggs at a time for my husband and my son and myself, is I will crack usually 2 eggs into a small bowl, and I will immediately add them to the simmering water, and then I'll do it in 2 more sets. So I add 6 eggs. Then put your timer on and set your timer for 2 minutes. Poached eggs, it takes generally 2 to 3 minutes. And often it's tricky because the first egg you put in will be done before the last egg you add, right? And you really want to make sure that you don't overcook them. So 2 or 3 minutes, and as soon as you see that the whites are white, opaque white, right? But you don't want, it's kind of, you want to see that bright yellow color from the yolk, and you want it to look slightly molten. That's when you take out the eggs. Use a slotted spoon or a spatula. Transfer them to a paper towel lined surface, which will drain off the water. And then you will transfer the eggs, the poached eggs, to a plate and just sprinkle them with salt and pepper. And in terms of what you serve them with, like this morning, I love them, like I was saying, with hot sauce. So, Lisa, you mentioned this brand Belinda's, which I've never tried. I use Cholula today. You could use Tabasco, whatever brand you want. You could put fresh herbs. Sometimes I'll dice some tomato. If you have pesto, you could serve it with them. You could, you could really top them in different ways to gild the lily, but they're just the most, in my opinion, seductive way to eat eggs. And they're also, it's a fat, other than the fat in the eggs, you're not adding any fat. So they're probably the healthiest, other than hard-boiled eggs, healthiest way to cook eggs. So that's my quick primer on poaching eggs at home in a rush.
Oh,
and it works.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm going to have to try that. You know, I want to mention, at the beginning, I mentioned that you're the author of the new milks, but you also have Mug Meals, Meatless All Day, Year Round Slow Cooker. I mean, my goodness, you are just, you're going to have to come back a lot because there are so many great things to talk about. I've been dying to get my slow cooker out and make some great meals. Actually, I have taken it out to make some bone broth, which I love.
Ooh,
but I
need
that's
to, a good idea.
Yeah, but I need
great
to
idea.
Do more with it. You know, Dina, you are so much fun. I could talk to you all day.
Thank you so much.
Wait to have you back here on Talk Healthy today. In the meantime, tell us all the ways we can find you online.
Oh, boy. Okay, so basically on Instagram, I'm The New Milks. On Twitter, I'm Dina Cheney, just like all one word, D-I-N-A-C Cheney. It looks like Cheney, capital D, capital C, Dina Cheney. And then on Facebook, I'm artist and author Dina Cheney. And I think, and then my website is www.dinacheney.com. Plus, I have a website, thenewmilks.com, which is a resource on dairy-free eating and plant-based milks.
Well, I want to have you back next month to talk all about the new milks. And then there's another thing I mentioned I wanted to have you on. There's a slow cooker thing. We can talk to
the yogurt.
I mean,
we got to talk yogurt.
The yogurt.
Yeah. Let's talk about
yes,
yogurt.
Yes, non-dairy yogurt. Yes, thank you for reminding me. Dina Cheney, everybody check her out. And I'm so glad that folks, you're listening to Talk Healthy today. I'm having so much fun. I love Foodie Friday. You can subscribe by going to iTunes. You can listen on RadioMD.com and Stitcher and a bunch of other great places. I want to thank everyone for listening. Get in your kitchen, make some yummy food, and stay well.